Life in the church family, it's just real life. Would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue to look at the teachings of the Beatitudes here? Matthew chapter 5, grab your outlines. You're going to need those as we go along and point out some things. Today we add to our study of the Beatitudes from verse 8, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's what we're going to dig into today. We're going to pull that all apart and capture the meaning and the implications of what Jesus says in verse 8 here to our lives. Just a little side note as we go, this verse has been the most expounded point of the Beatitudes by far. If you look up stuff and you read on stuff, this has garnered the most attention, and rightly so, but it's really gained a lot of attention through all the commentators and theologians through time. But once again, as we start, it is important for us to consider what Jesus says here, for us to understand the flow and context and how Jesus is having this interact. And I have some more of that for us today. And each week, I have some more in us just seeing the value of understanding God's word here as it flows together. As you look at your outline, let me just give you a brief overview of their relationship to one another so far that we've seen. The subject of the Lord's teaching is the way, the truth, and the life of those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's teaching. That's what he's sat down and begins. It's the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. It's our kingdom life he's talking about. The kingdom life now in the present, now in your life right now. It's about your life right now. That's what he's talking about. Those that belong to the kingdom have kingdom life in them. That should help us listen a little better. Always when it's just really relative to your life right now. The first three Beatitudes were concerned about your need or our recognition of that need. Poor in spirit, mourning over sin, and meekness before God as the result of a true understanding of the nature of your own self. That's what he began with. You have to have a true understanding of the nature of your own self. God has to bring it to you because you don't get it until he brings it to you. You don't see it. You don't understand it. That's what it is. Pierced your heart with the truth of the gospel. Lord brought this truth and understanding of truth into your heart and mind. Natural man cannot understand the things of God. God worked. God brought it to you. He showed you who you are, and you got this recognition of your need. You're poor in spirit. Well, look at all that. Mourning over sin, meekness before God as a result of your true understanding of that. You understand how prideful you are, how self-absorbed you are, how sinful. The whole deal, you understand it all. These three emphasize the vital importance of a deep awareness of need. That's what Jesus begins with. I am dependent upon the Lord every day in all things because I have an awareness of my need. I need Christ in my life. I need the Word of God to shape my life. I need to follow the Lord. I need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth. I require God to lead me, guide me, show me, help me, convict me. All of the things that the Word of God says that he does, and that it's an awareness of all of that. You're to be humble. You're to be dealing with your sin. You're to be trusting in God's sovereign work, his dealings with you. That's meek. Then comes the great statement of the satisfaction of our need, how God is going to feed our need, or how we're going to be fed. Or it's in verse 6. Look at it with me in Matthew 5. It's verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So from our understanding of who we are and our need, we are to hunger and thirst for the right way, and the Lord says, we shall be satisfied, we shall be fed. And that's what he's been teaching. This is what we've been understanding. Then from there, from being fed in our desire to live rightly, there's the next three. We are looking at the result of that satisfaction, the result of the hungering and thirsting for the Lord's way in our life to be ours, to be fed. What happens? The result, it's an attitude, and actions together. It's we become merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. And then we're going to get into it with the outcome as we get into later, as the outcome of all of this, as being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's who live for the kingdom of God. Those who live that life for the kingdom will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But this is how we're to be understanding all this. This is to be capturing our life, to be capturing our heart. This is the Christ. This is Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching about the kingdom life. This is how we have been understanding the relationship of the Beatitudes. Let me review it a little bit more. The first three Beatitudes lead up to the central statement of hungering and thirsting for righteous living. hungering and thirsting for living righteous, living in thought, action, and attitude like Christ. They lead up to that, us desiring that. And we desire that because we recognize who we are. You guys connecting this in your heart and mind? If you think you're something else, if you don't recognize who you are, it doesn't really work to hungering and thirsting for the new life, the way of Christ and all that, because you don't see a need. And Christ has been revealing all this to us. Then the next three describe the result that follow. They are all interrelated. To see it visually, let me give you a visual. It's like going up the mountain, the first three. You're going up the mountain, poor in spirit, mourning over sin, meek before God. You reach the summit in the mountain. It's the fourth one. You hunger for the life of Christ to come forth out of your life. Then down the other side of the mountain, the next three is merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. It's reflected in your outline. If you look at that, the font of the middle one, hunger and thirst for righteousness is big. You could write peak right there. So I'm going to recognize who I am on the way up. I'm going to desire the life of Christ as I get there. And as I desire the life of Christ, the life of Christ somewhat is manifested in life through merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. This is what the Lord's teaching. Again, this is the kingdom life for the Christian. It all starts with poor in spirit, right? We've talked about that a lot. The kingdom life starts with recognizing who you are. It all starts with poor in spirit. Look at your outline. Poor in spirit is living in recognition of your own unworthiness before God that focuses you on attributing to God all honor, all praise, all gratitude, all devotion, all submission, all obedience, all worship God alone deserves. If you're not humble before God, you will struggle with what you worship, what you honor, what you praise, what you're gratitude for, what your devotion's to, what you submit to, what Ray was praying about. We need these things in our life. They come in our life, as Ray was praying that, it was on my heart to share. Those things come into our life, a devotion to God, a devotion to serving Him correctly, to worshiping Him, being part of His church, all that come from you recognizing who you are. And if you're prideful, it messes up your submission and devotion to the things of God. It all begins with poor in spirit. So it begins there, so you mourn over your sin because you're poor in spirit, because you recognize who you are. You're humble before God, so you mourn over your sin because it's against God. And you recognize that you need to grow and you need to change and become more like Christ. Like, that's worship. You're meek before God because He's in control and you're not. You start recognizing in your need that I am so glad He's in control and I'm not. And I got to deal with that. I think I'm in control, that I'm in charge. I'm the one making things happen. No, you're not. God's in control. His providence before the foundation of time knows everything going on, or His sovereignty does. And through His providence, He's bringing those things about. We are participating in the life that is going on, but we are not in control. You need that. You trust in the dealings of His life. Also, you are gentle toward others for the same reason. This peaks in you hungering and thirsting for the Lord's way in your life. All who belong to God's kingdom hunger for it. It might get messed up because some things in a row, but in your new life, you hunger for it, and they submit to the King, and the Lord feeds you, satisfies your hunger in each and every thirst, and you seek after Him to honor Him. He feeds you. That's what Jesus has been teaching, which brings the attitude of being merciful that we saw last week, not only having compassion and pity and for the condition of others, but one that acts to help. Then the attitude of being poor and pure in heart comes, and we're going to look at that today. And then next week, not next week, that's Easter, the following one, the attitude of being a peacemaker. That's the flow. That's the God's word teaching us about our life, the kingdom life. That's the flow, the connections, the relationships to all of this. This is what the Lord's teaching. It's kingdom life. We've worked hard to put it all together and get it in our heart and mind to capture it. And so we're recognizing what Jesus is teaching as we would go through all of this. And like I've said many, many times in many, many different ways, we are not trying to add these to our Christianity. This is Christianity. This is the kingdom life coming forth out of your new life in Christ. It's within you. It's the song of salvation Jesus desires to play through your life. Sometimes it's called a true testimony of a transformed life we have in Christ. because it is a true testimony. It's because this is what God brings forth out of a life that he has rescued, saved, delivered, brought to him, put his life in union with Christ, given you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, given you the ability to understand his word, the power of God to live in this life, to endure, to persevere. God's at work in it all. And he's bringing it forth. We're not adding it to being a saved person. It's in the saved person as God is bringing it forth out of us. And it's a work. It's a process. It's going to take all of our lives, and it still won't all come out until we go meet the Lord in glory. This is profound stuff. We should understand it. This church, this body of Christ going through this is what, part seven? We should have captured this. You shouldn't go out the door and then have in your heart argument, no, that's not what life's about. No, this is what it's about. This is kingdom life. This is God speaking to your life. It's whether or not we walk in it, accept it, trust it, believe in it. Our flesh is going to say, no, that's not the life Jesus came to give me. Of course your flesh is going to say that, because it doesn't want the life that Christ brought. But this is it. Turn your outlines over. Let's add one more to it. We got like four more parts to get all the way through this. I don't know, maybe six when we start getting persecution and all that kind of stuff. And then and now we're going to be salt and light as we go on. And this is just rich and wonderful. And we're going to have a good grasp of what the Lord wanted his church to understand from the very beginning when he came. And then he preached in the Sermon of the Mount. But you turn your outlines over. Let's understand what Jesus means. My blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now let's start with this. Jesus is not referring. He's not referring to salvation's cleansing. This is to help us understand this. What we're going to go to first is what he's not referring to. He's not referring to salvation's cleansing. I'm saved, so I'm pure in heart. Nope, that's not what he's talking about. That's not how we understand this. That is to say, he's not saying, blessed, happy, content are those who are saved. As like Hebrews 10 would say, those whose heart have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the blood of Christ, for they shall see God. That's not what he's teaching. So you got to get your heart and mind out of there. This is what God did. I'm pure in heart because of salvation. He brought this to my life. That kind of thing. No, that's not what he's teaching. Because if it was, it would have been first in the Beatitudes, right? Poor in spirits first. You recognizing that you're nothing apart from God, that who we are truly are in our wretchedness and who we are in our being. We have to be humbled before God to accept his salvation, for him to accept us, for us to have faith in him and recognize who we are. And then we walk our life in that. This is not about salvation's cleansing. As wonderful as salvation cleansing is, it's by the blood of Christ. We sang about it. Verse 8 is not about salvation's cleansing. That's why the order Jesus gave them is so important. You know how many people, commentators, people, theologians go, and then they just pull this right out of context, and they want to try to teach about salvation's cleansing from this verse when it's not about it? So you got to get that in your heart and mind as we understand this. This is about the kingdom life and one of the Beatitudes down the mountain from the high point. So we want to understand what it is. We can't take verse 8 out of context, out of the flow of his teaching. So what is the Lord teaching us? Well, first, the emphasis is on purity of heart, not on the promise that you shall see God. So don't get caught in, okay, what do I got to do? I got to stand on my right foot, hold my left foot in the air, rub my head, and I'll see God? Don't get that. This is not what this is about. This isn't about, okay, if I jump through some hoops, then I'll see God. Right? That's not what he's teaching us. We haven't approached any of these things. You shall be comforted, right? You shall be fed, right? You shall be satisfied. We haven't focused on, we do all these things so these things happen. These are the outcome of that God bringing his life out of our life and God being involved in it. So we don't want to focus on the promise. Again, Jesus puts the emphasis on the inner man, upon the heart. Look at the text again. Look what it says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, he goes right to the heart, like he has been in our whole teaching. He goes right to your inner man. He goes right to you, to the very depth of who you are. He goes right there. He doesn't care about the outside. You guys get that, right? He doesn't care if you're tall or if you're short or if you're good looking or if you're not good looking. He doesn't care if you're good at baseball or golf, or but we do. But he knows about it. But the Lord is interested in who you are. Just like a husband and wife, this is some of the things that we talked about. The important things, yes, you guys are Twitter-pated, and she's so beautiful, and he's so handsome. But let's talk about who you are. Who is she on the inside, Mu'uwa? And then he would say, that's the greatest part about her. And I said, well, see, that's the Lord showing you who we are on the inside. And so she's a sinner saved by grace. And he would say, yeah. See, the Lord gets right in there, okay? Let's get right in there also in the text. He gets to the inner man, not the externalities and conduct. Not so much about what you do, it's about who you are. And it's always good to remember that. Yes, we want to serve the Lord. Yes, we want to embrace the righteous way of life. Yes, we want to do well. I want to have character and I want to have some manifestations of Christ-likeness in my life. I want to be kind and generous and merciful. And I want to be pure in heart. And I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be the things that Christ was. But if I don't deal with this in here, it doesn't matter how much it looks like it was like Christ was. You're not like Christ. You're zero like Christ. Because nothing was an outside thing. And that's what the Jews, they messed it all up. The Jewish leadership was always reducing the way of life and righteousness to a mere matter of conduct, ethics, and behavior. It was about appearance. And the Lord's church, this church, our church, has always been battled with that. It's not about what we look like, you guys. And we're really working hard not to really care about what it looks like. We're working really hard to care about what it really is. Because if you fool us and it's not what God wants it to be, woohoo! We're not walking around thinking you're wonderful. We're walking around desiring that Christ be manifested in each and every one of our lives. And we know it's not pretty, and we know it's ugly at times, and we know it's difficult. But that's what we're dealing with. I have to say hi to Roberta. I haven't seen Roberta in a long time either. There she's sitting right there. Good to see you, Roberta. Man, I might get in trouble here pretty soon to start saying hi to everybody. Hey. But you remember what Jesus said. You know, he saw right through the Pharisees and the Jewish leadership. Matthew 23. He saw right through it, got cut right to the chase. Matthew 23, verse 25. He said, hey, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside, they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Verse 27, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. The Lord is just getting to who we are. And he knows who we are, and he knows our struggle, and he knows our sin, and he knows exactly where we're at in his sanctification, and he's just here to lead us and guide us. Next Sunday school, we're going to talk about discipline us. There's no greater love than the love of Christ. He's going to love you correctly and righteously and rightly, and he cares about your inner heart, your inner person. Jesus is talking about the inner person, the purity of the heart, like David in Psalm 51, which I've been referring to a lot. Let me read verse 6 and 7. David, after he had confessed to the Lord about, you know, my sin, the sin has been in your sight, he said this to the Lord. He said, behold you, Lord, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me known wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's not about salvation cleansing either. I mean, David's the Lord's. He's saved. He's repenting. He's confessing. He's saying, he's not talking about outside behavior. He's saying, wash my heart. Wash my innermost being. That's what David is referring to. Make it pure in attitude and action and thought like yours. Verse 10, he says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's not talking about like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, where he gives us a new heart, a new spirit within us. This is David, already saved in the Lord's, and he's created me a clean heart. What he's talking about is, he's speaking about the attitude of the heart and the action of the heart. He's saying, clean it, wash it. Spirit here in the text means the inner person, the heart. Make it steadfast. Make it single-minded, my heart, Lord. Verse 12 says, restore me to the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. That word spirit there again is the inner man, the heart, all of you. So he's saying, give me a willing pure heart, Lord, a willing attitude to not sin, a willing attitude to change and to choose righteousness in the very depths of who I am. So David is saying in Psalm 51, this is what he's saying, Lord, deal with that part of me. Deal with that part of the believer. Deal with that part of every person with the kingdom life within them. Make me pure in heart. That's a work of the Lord in your life. That's a work of God that's happening in our life, pure in heart. This is what we're looking at. This is what Jesus is speaking about. So we want to grab what this is. So it's about the state of your heart, the attitude of your inner person. Let's break it down. What does it mean by the term heart here in our text? Simply, the heart is used as metaphorically to represent the inner person, the seat of motives, the seat of attitudes, which includes the thinking process and the will, the core of your very being, your new life, your kingdom life, opposed to your old life, the part of you, listen to this, that controls the mind, will, and emotions. That's who he's saying, be pure in. That's what he's saying. Let the Lord come and let him clean that in your mind, will, and emotions where you're making the thought process and choices of life. The very inner man that it would be pure. That's what he's referring to. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for in it flows the springs of life. So it's vital. David said in Psalm 16, turn there with me, Psalm 16. I want you to look at verse 8 and 9. Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9. This is such a great psalm. This psalm has been such an encouragement to my life and early in my Christianity and early in my seminary experience. This was very valuable in my heart and mind. God really taught me a lot through this. But listen to David in Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. He says, I have set the Lord continually before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Did you hear what he said? He said, I set the Lord continually before me. The Lord is constantly in my vision. It makes you think of Colossians 3, 1 and 2, right? I set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. I set them on where the Lord is, that kind of thing. That's what David was saying. He's constantly in my vision. It's like what we were looking at today in the Hebrews. I'm fixing my eyes on the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my life. He's constantly in my vision, and this is what David says. And then my inner person, my mind, will, and emotions are glad because he's present. He's right there in my right hand, and they are constantly with my eyes upon him. I've fixed my gaze upon the Lord, constantly looking at, I see life through the lens of Jesus Christ in front of it all. And my inner person, my mind, my will, my emotions, they're glad. Do you see what David is talking about? This is what Jesus is wanting us to understand. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. Heart there, meaning don't let your attitude of your inner person, your mind, will, and emotion of your inner person be troubled. Jesus said, believe, trust in God. Believe, trust in me. There's a reality going on that you don't know anything about yet. I'm going to teach you a little bit about it. But don't let your inner person be troubled. I'm in charge. God's in charge. He's going to go to the cross and leave them alone and be slaughtered on the cross. I think they'd be troubled. You live in a world, there's things that go on. Don't let your inner person be troubled. God's in charge. This is what Jesus is wanting to go to. Because if you have an unclean inner person, you don't believe what I just said. You question God with what I just said. You doubt God. You don't think God loves you. You don't think God's at work. You don't think God knows what he's doing. You don't think he's sovereign in all wisdom and knowledge. Because the enemy comes in and says, man, your God let you be torqued in this world. Am I talking to anybody today? And God wants us out of there. That's not the life he wants to bring through. Because then you start dealing with God in that he has to do things in the world to capture your attention and worship that are unnecessary, which really don't grab your attention and worship. You see where I'm going here? This is where the Lord's going. This is the depth of what he's talking about. So the heart refers to the mind, will, and emotions of the inner person. That includes your thought and your action process of thinking. Have it be pure or pure. The second term in our text, basic, it means to make pure by cleansing from dirt, filth, defilement. This term is often used of metals that have been refined to remove impurities. It means to be unmixed. You might want to write that down. An unmixed heart, an unadulterated heart, or an undivided heart. That's what he's talking about. Applied to the heart, the idea is that my inner person would be a pure motives of single-mindedness, of undivided devotion. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he's talking about. Double-mindedness has been a blight in the church forever. I got one foot in the world, and I got one foot in the kingdom life. I'm going to make it work. God's going to bless me because I got one foot in the kingdom life, and I'm going to get a little more satisfaction because I got the other foot in the earthly life. Let me ask you, in your mind, will, and emotions, in the wisdom that you have in your heart, do you think God would ever let that work? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it works that way. Just go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and keep one over there, one over there. I'm just so glad you acknowledge me every now and then, especially when things are hard. But the rest of your life, you're over here and, you know, you get messages like, God doesn't really want you unhappy. God doesn't want you dissatisfied. God, he loves you too much for you to have. Of course, Jesus deals with this in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Double-mindedness is and has always been a battle for the true believer. It's a problem, one foot and the other. Look at Matthew 6. Look at it with me, Matthew 6. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 6, verse 19. And let's look at this right here and just move along here and capture this. This is easy to capture once we get into the understanding of what Jesus is speaking about. Matthew 6, verse 19 and following, Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now that makes its treasures on earth seem to be worthless, right? In what Jesus is saying, right? You could argue with him, but he puts in here, the rust destroys them, thieves break them. But store up for yourself in treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is your getting understanding. What you value in your inner man, and if it's a singleness of mind, you'll live for what the Lord wants from pure motives. But you notice that he's talking about you could be double-minded. And if your treasure is in the things in the earth, you're going to store up things in the earth. So he's speaking about single-mindedness of heart, of your inner man. And if it's not double-minded, it will be single-minded on the Lord. And you'll just store up whatever God's going to store up in heaven for you and quit worrying about everything on this earth. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So Jesus is saying there, you cannot serve both. That's double-minded. That's divided devotion in your heart, impure attitude in your inner person. It's not the kingdom life. He just said this is impossible because you'll be devoted to one and hate the other. And if you really think about what he just said, well, no, I'm devoted to the Lord. No, because you don't hate the other. Because if you're devoted to the Lord, you'd hate your one foot in this world, and you don't hate it. So what's Jesus exposing in our heart? We actually love this and in some way hate that. So I want to be pure in heart. Jesus is talking about it as an attitude in our life. What Jesus is meaning by pure in heart is one without hypocrisy. Listen to Romans 12. You guys know this one. Listen to Romans 12, 9. This is a verse we know. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. The problem in our lives as believers is a divided heart, which brings divided love and a divided of what we choose to cling to. We all know that. The verse is always ministered to our hearts and minds that, man, I'm learning to abhor things that are evil and cling to what is good. God is talking. Jesus is teaching. I'll bring that out of your life. It'll be a pure motives, undivided heart to the Lord, and it won't be such a different, it'd be a different animal for you on what you let go of and what you cling to. Look at the book of James with me. Let's just carry this on. James 4. James spoke of this also. James 4, look at chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 with me. Turn your Bibles there. James is teaching on the same thing that we're learning here and grabbing an understanding. James 4, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Look at what James says here. He describes the same thing. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There you go. There's the wrong motives. There's an unpure heart. There's an unpure inner person that's seeking to ask God. Think about that. I'm asking God to bless me, God, glorify me, or glorify yourself in me, but give me something to gratify my flesh. And it just doesn't work, okay? That's what he's talking about. And he says, you adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So he says, hey, that's friendship with the world. That's not friendship with God. That's actually opposing God. Look at verse 8. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to that struggle. Verse 8, in the Word, God says this, draw near to God, He will draw near to you, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Jesus is dealing with, we don't want to be double-minded, we want to be single-mindedness. It's called pure in heart. Everyone in the room has conviction because none of us are like the Lord completely in this, so all of us are dealing with, that's, I got again, like last week, I'm with you. God's got to work in our lives. But the enemy's not going to deceive us and confuse us by some outward appearances to believe that somehow in our inner man, we're single-mindedness. It's okay to acknowledge your double-mindedness and have the Lord work in your life to have it, or be double. You know what I meant. So Jesus is saying, blessed are those single-minded in heart with undivided devotion in their inner person that controls their mind, will, and emotion, which includes how you think. He's talking about those who are there at that place, are maturing to have a pure motives in their heart. They shall see God. What do you do if you understand that today I'm double-minded? What do you do? What do you do if hypocrisy is your response to God's saving grace, to God's rescue, to God's giving of new life? Hypocritical choices being made to the reality of the kingdom life that's within me. What do you do? If you serve self and serve the Lord, so to speak, and you're not pure in heart, so the things are not the way God wants them, what do you do? I heard repent. Repent and turn. What direction do we go? Let me help you with definitively the direction. If you're double-minded, so the things before it, that's why they go together. The Beatitudes are not yours also. They're not yours also. If you're not maturing in your single of devotion. Now, that's good. Maturing in singleness of devotion. Because I'm not just sitting where I'm at. Because if I'm sitting where I'm at and not letting the Lord change me, I need to be maturing in my singleness of devotion from the heart, from the inner man. If you're not at that place, verse 6. Look at Matthew again. You're not at verse 6. Remember I told you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. God is satisfying. He's feeding you, and you're hungering, thirsting to be like the Lord. Then this attitude of being merciful, of being pure in heart, and being peacemakers is coming forth of you hungering and thirst for God to work in your life. He's feeding you. You're being satisfied. And then this is maturing in your life. If it's not, if you're double-minded and it's not changing, not growing, not being dealt with, you got to go to verse 6, say, hey, am I actually hungering and thirsting for God to feed me? Not to satisfy my flesh, to satisfy my yearning, my longing for Christ's life to come out of my life, for me to represent Christ, for me to be a strong testimony to the saving grace of Christ, to me to be useful to the master, those kind of things. You got to go there. And you're going to find that's not true of you either. You're not longing for the Lord to feed or satisfy your desire to be like Christ because of the attitude of your heart, to be single-minded, to be undivided. Devotion flows from the Lord, satisfying the thirst that's in you. And if you're not hungering or thirsting for the righteous way, you're on the mountain on the way up. You're not at a plateau. You're not at a peak. You're back to being poor in spirit. You're not humble before the Lord. You're not really mourning over your sin. You're not desiring change and growth and rescue from it. You're not really meek before the Lord, trusting in his providence. Oh, it may look like you are. But you don't fool him. And really, we don't care what it looks like. I'd rather have everybody here broken over that I'm somewhat double-minded, and God would come and help us, and let's cry and weep and go back to, it's because I'm proud and I'm arrogant and I'm prideful and I don't think God's really in charge, and the enemy's coming in, and I don't know his word, and I don't know that he loves me completely, and I don't know, I can't trust him with the dealings that's going on in this world, allowing these things into my life, and I really don't mourn over sin. I just want to get away with sin. I want people not to see it, but I know it's against God, and I'm just at that place, and then I get discouraged when I come to church because I'm just at that place. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and will rescue you right here, right today. No greater place to be than what I just described. There's not. Because it's an honest heart before him, and that's what he seeks. All these beatitudes are interacting in the life of those who are truly have this kingdom life all the time. This is our life. And when God shows me that I have a divided heart, I go to him. Look at the front of your bulletin. I go to him. And there's a bunch of verses I had down that I could have showed you, but I go to him, and from the front of your bulletin is, Lord, teach me your way. I know I'm divided. I know I got one foot here and there. I know that. Teach me your way. My commitment is to walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Because my heart's double-minded. It's the flesh and my new life. And I'm like Paul, I acknowledge, I do not do what I want to do, and I don't, the inner man joyfully concurs with the law of God, but I see this other work in me that just keeps me that, Lord, help it stop. I want to honor you. Pure motives. Bring it, Lord. Humble me before you. Bring a brokenness over my sin. Help me walk in a meekness, trusting you. I just give you my life, whatever. And to those with an undivided heart, to those with a singleness of mind and their inner person, to follow Christ, to honor him, to glorify him, Jesus said, they shall see God. What's that mean? Well, in the here and now, let me just explain it quickly and open your Bibles to 1 John 3. This is what it means. You will see God in every challenge, in every trial, in every circumstance, in every difficulty, in every opportunity, in every choice. You see him in his creation, in the history of mankind. You see him at work in the world, at work in others, at work in your life. You recognize his presence in your life. You see him guide you into his truth, change people by his truth, rescue people, hold them close, comfort them. You see God. Because your heart is clear to see the true and living God and who he is and what's going on. What great testimony we had today. It's only God that is at work in bringing any kind of healing to those that we were praying for, those that had brought that at my island and all that. But all along the way, those that are just undivided, we're going to stay focused on the Lord, have seen God at work in so many ways, and so have we. But it's not because of the healing. Because he's at work if the healing doesn't come. But with an undivided heart and pure motives, you know that to be true. You see, double-mindedness, divided devotion to the Lord Jesus obscures you from seeing or believing the Lord is present and active and sovereign and working in his providence, bringing about his plan. You just want yours. Let me just cut to the chase. In a pure heart, you see America right where the Lord has allowed it to be in his perfect providence. And you see, your role is to be content, merciful to the condition of people, in pure motives, a peacemaker of others to God by proclaiming the only answer to sin that there ever has been, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you walk meekly before God, knowing that whatever dealings he's got going on here, they're greater than you can ever imagine. And so you can let go of the condition that you live in. One day you'll see him face to face. Look at 1 John 3, 1 through 3 with me as we close. This is the end when we see him face to face. Chapter 3, verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it has not known him. This is seeing God now. To perceive the truth of his great love that brought us to be called children of God, and such we are. Do you perceive the truth of the great love of God that brought you to a place of poor in spirit, that brought you to a place of salvation? That the world cannot see, the lost world cannot see, they will not see the children of God. The lost world are not the children of God. They're his creation. Only you are the children of God. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared yet as what we will be. We know him when he appears. We will be like him because we will see him just as he is. That cross made that verse possible. The one that died on that cross, that gave his life on that cross, that's resurrected, that we celebrate next week. One day we will see him face to face, visually. And when we do, we will be like him. For we will see him just like he is. What do you think will be like him? In all the Beatitudes we're studying. In all the character and the attributes, the attitude and action and thought of his character. Verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now you get that verse, don't you? Now you get that verse. That's where my hope is fixed. My hope is fixed on the one come to get us. And then when he does and I see him, I'm going to be just like him. That's the journey of my life, to try to represent him best I can till I see him. He's run this race already. I just keep my eyes fixed on him. He's done this. And if I am, and this is my hope, I purify myself just as he is pure, pure in heart, undivided devotion in the inner person. Yes, Lord, we desire it. Let's pray. Father, Father, thank you for this morning and just for the time of worship today. And just for, I know, Lord, you're at work in many ways. I can see God, not because I'm so holy and pure, but because you are at work. You are guiding and leading us to get our mind on you, to be undivided in our devotion, undivided in our worship, undivided in our inner person, that this life is about you. And when we do, we see you at work in the lives of others and in the lives of us. And then we're just overwhelmed with the reality of it. So we're grateful today for your word spoke to us in the Lord's truth of blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for today.